for this purpose. He was our substitute. He was our representative. The substitute for sinners, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, having read that, go back to the text in Luke chapter 2. And you'll understand something about these next few verses. I'll start with verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child. Now, that was a Jewish ceremony. There was a Jewish law that every male that openeth the womb was holy unto the Lord and was to be circumcised, every male, on the 8th day. And that's when the child was named. And his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. See, Christ didn't come to destroy the law. And I'm talking about the Levitical law. Of course he didn't come to destroy the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Of course not. He even put it away. He came to forgive us of our sins, our offenses against transgressing the law of God. But he didn't put the Ten Commandments away. It's still true, thou shalt have no other God before me. It's still true, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. But neither did he come to destroy the Levitical law. He came to fulfill it. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. And so that's why he was circumcised. That's why he kept the Sabbath day. That's why he kept the Passover. And so our Lord was circumcised. You see that? On the 8th day he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. He was a Jew. He was of the house and lineage of David. God promised him the throne of his father David. Now, if you'll turn for a moment to Matthew 3, here's one statement made by our Lord that explains all of this circumcision, Sabbath keeping, Passover keeping, the feast, the tabernacle, the feast of the tabernacle, the feast of the first fruits. He kept all these. Oh, he went to the temple. You know, in Luke it says, and when he came back to Nazareth, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue. Every Saturday, our Lord was in the synagogue. Because he was a Jew. That was the law. Levitical law. And here is the one verse that tells you why he did all of these things. And in Matthew 3:13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbade him. John said, what's going on here? He knew who Christ is. He said, I have need to be baptized of you. Comest thou to me? Can you imagine the man who circumcised the Son of God? The priest? Can you imagine the one who served him the Passover? He should be serving me. But no, here's what he said. Suffer it to be so now. For it thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And there's the key. Everything that our Lord did in respect to this Levitical law was for you and me. He was a man. He was a Jew. Born under the law, made of a woman, made under the law, subject to every commandment. And everything he did was for our sake. For our sake. He showed those Jews that he was Lord of the Sabbath, though, when he went through and picked corn, gave it to his disciples to eat. They said, you picking corn on the Sabbath day? I am the Sabbath day. Yeah. He straightened them out on that, you know. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. It's his day, and he reserves that right to do as he pleases. All right. Now, verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary, when these days were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. To present this man-child to the Lord. They're going to bring Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man,
into the temple, and they go off for a sacrifice. And he is the sacrifice. I know, but he's fulfilling the law. This is so important.
So important to remember this. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Is that what the law says? Well, let's see. Leviticus chapter 12. Is that what the Lord said, bring? A pair of turtle doves and two pigeons? What about a lamb? Leviticus 12. Look at Leviticus 12. Verse 6. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, when a woman has a child, a Jewish woman, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath born a male or a female. Now, wait a minute. And if she be not able to bring a lamb. Mary and Joseph were poor, poor people. Didn't even have a lamb. Couldn't afford to buy a lamb. See, our Lord was born. I told you that this morning. She said, he hath regarded my low estate. They didn't have a lamb. So the Lord permitted them to bring what she brought. Listen, bring two turtle doves is what that is, turtle doves. Two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for the sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Passages like that just are so sweet and precious. My Lord identified with us in the lowest station of our life. He identified with the poor and the weary and the weak, and here he is, his mother and Joseph bringing him to the temple, and they can't even afford a lamb, so they bring turtle doves and pigeons. All right. So important to remember that Levitical law. It wasn't given to save. It wasn't given to sanctify. It's a picture. Let me show you that in Hebrews 9. Let's turn over there and read this for a moment. Hebrews chapter 9. All of this that our Lord is doing is in fulfillment of the law, the picture, the figure. Hebrews 9, beginning with verse 7. But into the second, the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while that first tabernacle was yet standing. All of this, which was a figure, a picture, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, it could not make him that did the service perfect. Even these turtle doves and pigeons and lambs, Mary and Joseph offered, these were pictures, as couldn't make them perfect as pertained to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and different washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. What is this time of Reformation? All right. This is saying the way into the presence of God. Christ is the way. But it's not clearly revealed. It's not actually manifested while this first temple stands. Here comes Mary and Joseph with that child. He's the fulfillment, but nobody knows it. He's not manifested. He's not revealed. And they bring him there to the temple, which still stood with his sacrifices. Even he had to have a sacrifice. Even he had to be circumcised because it stood
Listen. And this first tabernacle stood as a symbol, a picture, a figure for the time present to typify the work of Christ. Although these sacrifices could never take away sin, never satisfy God, never give Him pleasure, they must continue to be offered until He offers His sacrifice. Then they stop. See that? Then they stop. These ceremonies were imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. That's the coming of Christ. That's the day of the Messiah. That's the time when everything would be made clear. And it says to straighten throughly. Make it clear. Make it plain. Make it plain. All right. Back to our text. Thank God for the time of Reformation. The day of the Messiah. All right. Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. It doesn't say he's a priest. I know Zacharias was, that you read about, Ron, a little while ago. But not this man, Simeon. We don't know a great deal about him. But there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a just man, a devout man, waiting for that day of Reformation. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the day of the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. What is this day of consolation? Well, the word means this, comfort. Waiting for the comfort of Israel. And I want to read you Isaiah 40. This fits right here. Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to this. Waiting for the comfort of Israel. Isaiah 40. I've read this so many times to this congregation, to myself. Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably, that is, to the heart, to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's the day that Simeon was waiting for, the consolation, the comfort, when we can say, as Bob did in his prayer, our sins are put away behind the back of God to be remembered no more. I want you to look at Simeon a minute. I said I didn't know much about him, but I know something about him. Listen, look at verse 25 again. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, and I might add, not the only one. Not the only one. Now, Mary knew, it says down here in verse 19. In verse 18 said, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered at the things the shepherds said. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior, Christ the Lord. They wondered. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She said, I know. I know. Joseph knew. I know who he is. And old Simeon says here in verse 25, let me tell you what I know about him. Number one, he was a just man. I know he was a Jew. I know that first. He was a Jew. But he didn't find salvation in the fact he was a Jew. In his heritage, did he? And secondly, he was a just man. That is, he was a moral man. A man of integrity. But he didn't find salvation in his integrity. He was waiting for the Messiah. And then he was a devout man. That is, he kept the law. He came frequently to the temple. Here he was coming to the temple this day. He observed the ceremonies and the sacrifices and all these things. He was a devout man, a religious man, but he didn't find comfort in his religion. Tell you what he was waiting for. He was waiting for that one of whom the Scripture spake, the Messiah. He knew he was coming. Knew he was coming. Waiting for the Redeemer. And verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. He knew that. That was revealed to him. He would not die till he'd seen Christ. The Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. You know, that can be said of every one of God's elect. They'll never die till they've seen Christ. Our Lord said, all that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. He said in John chapter 10, verse 14, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall be one fold. I know this. No believer, no elect child of God will die till he's seen Christ. Seen him how? Not with these eyes. But like our Lord said in John 8. Let me read you a scripture. This is the way they see him in John chapter 8, verse 56. Listen to this. John 8, 56. It says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Abraham didn't see Christ. Not with his eyes. We saw him by faith. He saw him by faith. He believed Christ. And that's the same way we see him. Abraham looked forward to his day. We look back to his day. We see him. See the Son. Revealed to him that he would not die till he'd seen the Christ. Now watch this. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. You know, he'd been to that building how many times? I just imagine that, I don't know why, but I just picture Simeon as an old man. An old man, old white-haired man. Somehow I just picture him that way. He'd been waiting a long time. He'd been to that building many times. Many times. He'd seen thousands of people come and go. The Lord told him he'd see the Christ before he died. And don't you imagine or believe when he came to that temple, he'd look at everybody. He'd look at everyone. Seen thousands of people come and go. He had observed hundreds of sacrifices. But still he waited. Still he waited. And one day it says he came by the Spirit into the temple. This day was different. The Spirit of God brought him there. You know, I've known people to come to church services many times. Many times. Hear many sermons. See many people. And then one day, the Spirit of God brings them. It's a different time. The Spirit of God brings them. The Spirit of God prepares the way, prepares the heart, and brings them. The Lord's there. The Lord meets them. It says, he came with the Spirit into the temple. I'll tell you something else that happened. And the parents brought in the child Jesus. When Simeon, that wasn't his first trip to that temple. He'd been there a lot of times. From his youth. But this day, the Spirit of God brought him. And they brought the Lord Jesus in. And the Lord of glory crosses the path of one of his children. His elect. I'll tell you what a day that is. I want to read you a scripture over here in the book of Haggai. I'd like you to turn over there. I'm giving you a moment. It's hard to find. And I put a paper clip on Haggai, and I found it easier than you did. But it's over here in the Minor Prophets. It's near Zechariah, Malachi. It's the third from the last book in the Old Testament. And they were talking about the second temple that was rebuilt. And Haggai says in chapter 2 of Haggai verse 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? I wouldn't know if any saw it in his first glory. That's when Solomon built it. How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it is nothing? In other words, this temple, this second temple, the one to which Simeon came,
the one to which Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus. It wasn't to be compared to the day of Solomon. Isn't that what he's saying? Not compared. But, wait a minute, read on. Verse 6. Now this is before Christ came. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to shake the earth and the seas and the dry land. I'm going to shake all nations. And the desire of all nations, that's Christ, shall come. And I'll fill this house with glory." Woo! That's his first visit to the temple. Mary brought him to the temple. That's the first moment when God the Son gets the fulfillment of this scripture right here. That's what made a special day. Simeon was brought by the Spirit of God there. He'd been there a lot of times. Oh, the ritualism, the ceremonialism, the legalism, all the other ism. But this day, he came, and our Lord came. "I'm going to fill this house with glory," saith the Lord of hosts. Listen, "the silver is mine, the gold is mine," saith the Lord of hosts, "and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former." Greater than Solomon's here. "Can't hold a candle," saith the Lord of hosts. "And in this place, I'll give peace because the Prince of Peace came in." Somebody says, "Well, he's just an infant." It doesn't matter how he manifested himself. Malachi, turn over there at Malachi. You know, Bob was reading to us about John the Baptist and his father Zacharias being struck dumb and named him John, and nobody in your family has been named John. He wrote John, and John the Baptist came. And here, chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 1, it tells about John, the forerunner of Christ. It tells about the Lord coming to his temple. Listen, Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I'll send my messenger," that's John, "he shall prepare the way before me," said the Lord. "And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, the prophet of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he'll come," saith the Lord of hosts. And my friends, that's what's happening right here. Verse 27 of our text in Luke 2. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, the sacrifice." That's the fulfillment of that scripture over there in Haggai. "The Lord will come to the temple. Peace." Well, nobody knew him. Nobody knew him. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own. His own received him not. And there were people all over that place. There were other women there with their sacrifices. The other women had babies. Think, this is the temple in Jerusalem. Think how many people were there. And think about this day and how many people are in religious activities today. Everywhere. But some places the Lord's there. The Prince of Peace. He's come to his house. And here and there some folks, they see him. This wasn't a meeting by chance. When the Lord meets his people, it's not by chance. And old Simeon, look here at verse 28. "Simeon took him up in his arms." He took him out of the arms of Mary. It's reading a lot of people think he's a priest, that Mary brought her sacrifice to him to be offered for the child. It may be, but he took him out of the arms of his mother, Mary, and embraced him. He embraced him with joy. He embraced him with great affection. He embraced him with deep, awe and respect, he took him up in his arms. This is the one for whom he's been waiting. This is the Messiah. And then it says, here's his song. And then he said, Lord, well, he took him up in his arms, and watch this, and he blessed God.
He blessed God. That's so important there. He blessed God. This is always the way the song of the redeemed begins. Blessing God. Blessing God.
Let me read you over here in Ephesians 1. This is what I'm talking about. Ephesians 1. This is the way a believer blesses God. He blesses God because God chose him and God opened his eyes and God gave him life and God revealed Christ to him. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, Paul blesses God. Listen, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. He blessed God. He blessed God. He took him up in his arms. He embraced the Redeemer. He received the Redeemer and blessed God. Blessed God for the sight, for the knowledge, for the revelation, for the understanding, knowing that he's the only one there. Out of all this multitude of people, only one that sees what he sees and knows what he knows. And then he said, Lord, you see, this saving view of Christ released him from the cares and concerns of this world. This saving view of Christ released him from the dread and fear of death. This old man no longer feared to die. He said, Lord, you're the Lord of life and death. Now, let thy servant. Now, let me. All things are of God. Allow me, he said, to depart from this place to thy place in peace, in forgiveness. Therefore, being justified, we have peace with God. According to thy word, because that's the foundation of all of our confidence. And our hope. And I'll tell you why he could feel that way. Lord, now, let me depart in peace according to your word, because mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon didn't see the cross. The cross was yet to come. Simeon didn't see the empty tomb. It was yet to come. I hear have people tell me, they say, have you ever been to the Holy Land? I said, well, or you could go a whole lot into that. I said, well, no. No. I said, why do you call it the Holy Land? I said, it's not necessarily holy. But I've never been there. Why? Oh, you need to go. If I've had this said to me once, I've had it said 100 times. You need to go. Because if you visit Calvary's Hill, and see where the cross stood, and see the empty tomb, it just somehow gives you some peace and brings it more home to you, the reality of it. Simeon didn't see the cross. There hadn't been a cross. He didn't see Golgotha's hill. He didn't see the empty tomb. He didn't see the risen Christ. He saw a person. A person. And salvation is a person. I wish I could get that across to the whole world. Salvation is a person. He says, mine eyes have seen your salvation. I've seen your salvation. When a man has a revelation of Christ Jesus, he's seen God's salvation. And then he said in verse 31, which thou hast prepared I tell you, he prepared Christ as the surety in the everlasting purpose and counsel halls of eternity, decrees of God, known unto God all his works from the beginning, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, one scripture I want to read before I close. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. This is what Paul's writing about over here. This man, Simeon, had gone through all of the sacrifices and ceremonies, pictures and types. But now he's ready to die. He's seen the person. And that's what our Lord is saying in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. All of these sacrifices and offering never satisfied God, never atoned for sin, never put away guilt, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book is written of me, in the volume of this book, in the book in the hands of him who sat on the throne, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will was sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And all these priests standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is no more offering for sins.